Welcome to That Mac Show, the mobile edition. I'm your host, ET. Let's get into some Mac goodness for the week. And I thought I'd do a little state of the Mac in my life, slash a little bit of the news. And since we're kind of in a lull, I guess you could say, in the Mac industry, waiting for some things to go down, waiting for some updates here and there. But I thought I'd do a little update, since it's been a while since I've actually done an episode. I've regenerated the feed, got it back into iTunes, and I'm not even sure if anybody out there remembers that I actually did episodes before, but let's just say this is a brand new show. But we're starting at about, let's just start at episode 100. This is going to be episode 100. First things first, the state of the Mac in my house. State of the Mac in my house, I currently have a mid-2010 MacBook Pro that I recently did some spicing up to. So several months ago, I put in some RAM. Then a little bit after that, I put in an SSD. And I was like, wow, this thing's doing really good. It really added, you know, put some spunk back into it. Gave it a little bit more life. But then I noticed the left top side of it kept getting really, really hot. Especially when I was using Google Hangouts or watching YouTube videos. And then I was doing a little research, and people on the internet we're talking that older batteries tend to generate more heat. And then OS 10 gave me a little notification that said that your battery's jacked up. You need to replace it. And, you know, it's been there, and it appeared and disappeared here and there. But then I kind of ignored it for a while. I'm like, well, I don't really. It lasts an hour, 2 hours, or, you know, two and a half without watching video maybe. And it's good enough for, you know, couch computing. I keep an extra cord near the couch to charge it. And then one day I was like, okay, this is the last thing I'm going to do for this computer. I'm going to go get a new battery put in. I went, called the Apple store, set up the appointment, went there, got it replaced. $140, $130, something like that. Not too bad. Enough that this computer will be with the SSD, the new RAM, and the new battery. This thing will, you know, will be in my collection for decades, I hope. I'm not going to get rid of it. As long as the LCD keeps kicking, it's all good. I'll probably pass it down to my son. We use it as a secondary computer to play Minecraft on. But we'll talk about other computers later. But so that's my primary Mac machine right now. The wifey has, believe it or not, a Power Mac G4 in one of our boxes that we brought back from Japan. The only reason she keeps that is because it has her what is it called? I guess 3D software, which is called, I think she uses RenderWorks and VectorWorks. And then she also has Photoshop and Illustrator, which are really old versions, but for what she does, she gets the job done. And she's just afraid to get rid of it. We were in Japan before we left. I'm like, let's just dump it and buy a new one. And she just couldn't pull the trigger. So I said, okay, let's take it across the globe again. And it's sitting in the box. Hasn't been opened, so we got that. I just acquired a G3 Mac Mini for my brother because he wasn't using it. I was like, send it over here. And I don't think I'm actually going to use it. I'm kind of building up a little collection of classic Macs and game consoles that I kind of want to use as a backdrop for some potential video in the future. So, for example, I have the original, one of the original Japanese Nintendo NESs, which were called Famicoms, so family computers. I have one of those with Super Mario 2, Super Mario Brothers 2 or 3, I forgot. Which was basically the best game on that platform. So I have that. I have the G3 Mac Mini. I have the wifey's Power Mac, which I'll keep too. I'm going to go acquire one of the iMacs with these. I forgot which one it is. It's G3 iMac, you know, when it came with red, charcoal, blue, and all that. Not the original one, but the second gen ones that kind of came out with the slot loading drive, not the tray. Get one of those for decoration. And what else do I have in the house? Got two iPhone 4s that we use as media players. We got two 5Ss. We got an iPad 4 with a cracked screen that my son uses. and it still works, so we're just gonna milk it as long as possible. As long as you, we just put a one of those screen protectors on it so you don't cut your finger on it or anything, but it still works, it functions. What else do we have? I have a gaming PC that I use for my Steam account, which I've been tempted. Right now it's an AMD system with motherboard in it, and I've been tempted to swap out the motherboard with an with a gigabyte motherboard, and a, I guess, 4770K Intel i7 quad core. And if I do that, I can actually make a Hackintosh, which would be pretty dope. So I've been kind of toying with that idea, just swapping out the motherboard and the CPU, and everything else should, the memory and the graphics card are pretty good, so they should be fine, and it should turn into a nice little Hackintosh that I can boot camp in to play, you know, PC games on Steam. And what else? Do we have any other stuff in the house? I think that's about it. But we are actually getting a new house built, and I was thinking it's a good time to buy some computers. Since when you have a new house, you don't necessarily want to bring some old junky ones there. You want, you know, a nice looking place. So I'm probably going to pick up my son a 21.5 inch iMac. Probably going to max it out, i7, 16 gigs of RAM, and then, like, probably for him, I'm most likely to get the Fusion drive because he's used to using SSD drives, so I don't know if he can handle the old school spinning drives, how long they take to boot up. I'm going to get one of them for him. And I am on the fence. If you look, check out the website, currently this podcast is over at r32media.com. That's r32media.com. Been putting up some articles there, but eventually I think I'm going to bring back the old That Mac Show site. So we'll stay tuned for that. But for now, just go to r32media.com. So I've been contemplating the Mac Mini or the iMac. Because right now the Mac Pro is just, who knows when they're going to be actually caught up. And I'm not sure I want to drop that much money on a system. But, man, like, the baseline price is not too bad. I could afford that. But I actually wouldn't want to get the baseline. I want to at least get middle of the road with the two graphics cards in there. And that's when you get into, like, you know, we're talking like $6,000 at least for what I want in it. And I'm like, I'm not sure I want to drop 60 grand on a computer right now that I don't really need. When any of the iMacs, and possibly even if they ever update the Mac Mini, you know, a maxed out Mac Mini would be more than enough for what I need. All I need is, you know, internet. I need some Final Cut Pro, and it's iMovie editing. I need podcasting ability, which is easy. Any computer could do that. Even my G3 Mac Mini could do it, actually. Now that I think about it, could actually use Audacity on that. Yeah, I might actually do that. That's one possible use for it. We'll see. But anyways, so I'm at a crossroads. Do I get the Mac Mini now, like a loaded i7, which is about a grand, or do I get a loaded 21.5 inch, have two of those, which is about $2,000 for what I figured out. Then you could also get, if you get the loaded 27 inch iMac, we're talking about $3,000 basically, really right on the border of $3,000. That would be maxed out CPU, which is i7, maxed out GPU. Then the only, and that, I think in that build I did a 1 terabyte Fusion drive, which has the benefits of the SSD, and it has the cheapness of the 1 terabyte spinning drive, so you got the best of both worlds. It boots up quick, and your apps that you usually use are on the SSD part, but then everything else, the storage, you know, the media and other stuff are on the other part, so. And I was like, by the time I got out the door, it was like 20, I think elite $25.99 or something like that. So, or 25 or 27. But since it's not really upgradable anymore, you can upgrade the RAM pretty much. Everything else is just a pain in the neck. It's not worth the hassle in the iMac. So you got to get what you want in storage, at least a decent size. And you can do an external storage if you want, of course. And then you got to get the graphics card, because everything out there, Final Cut 10, even iMovie and other things are being optimized for CPU and graphics, GPU. So you have to get that. Then that's the way Apple gets you. As much as I love them, I hate them for what they do to my pocketbook. So looking at picking up, our house is to be done June 3rd or 6th or something like that. So that's when we're moving in. And anytime around there, I'm hoping that Apple decides to push an update for the old Mac Mini. And even, maybe even a little rev on the iMac to get the next best processor or next best video card in there. That'd be kind of cool too. So looking to pick up at least, actually, probably going to be three. I'm thinking the 21.5 for my son. I'm probably going to get the 27-inch because I need and I want. More want than need. I could deal with the 21.5, but, when you can, you can. The 27-inch because the GPU and the CPU and the ability to add your own memory. So I can get up to like 32 gigs if I want to. Without having to buy it initially. Start with the 8 and then get Otherworld Computing or somebody else to send me a couple sticks of RAM and just bump it up right there. So yeah, brand new house coming. We're going to be living in Austin, so the studio is going to be moving. Right now we're currently mobile, living at the old folks' house since we came back from Japan. We've been about a year now trying to decide if we're going to go to San Francisco or Austin or Hawaii. And we ended up actually picking Austin because the price of houses, Google Fiber is coming, which is a big one of the things that kind of pushed me over. It's like, oh, that's interesting to know that Google Fiber is actually coming. So we decided to pick up a house in Austin. And like I said, they just broke ground this week and should be done in June, first week of June or end of May. And I'm really looking forward to getting in there. I hit up the old IKEA. I got the two desks that I want that are going to be the kind of the L-shaped corner type one. I'm going to put one in each corner and probably have something in it. If they don't touch, something that can, a piece of wood or something over that kind of connects them. So it's going to be one big wall of desk with one of those, exercise ball seat type things. And, of course, when you get sick of sitting on that really nice chair that rolls with the plastics up on the carpet so you can just scoot across quickly, a little bit of sound deadening on the walls and stuff like that. So it's going to be, the plans in my head are pretty awesome. Looking forward to it, definitely. And then, at that point, I think I'll actually be able to produce regular content. Because right now, in the car, or if I'm at home, my folks, or my son, or my wife, when they're asleep, I have to find a place in the house where it's kind of quiet, grab the mic and the MacBook Pro, and it's not ideal situation, so. As of June, I'll be looking forward to having my own man cave, as I told my son. He already knows the word. He's only six, and he knows. Man cave, no girls allowed kind of thing. So we've been joking with the wifey about that. So it's kind of interesting. But yeah. So that's kind of the state of the Mac. I am in need of at least two computers. That's not even counting the cracked iPad, which we're not going to deal with. Because since I usually work from home, I don't find it necessary to actually have the iPad that much. Because we have one. And my son basically took that one over. I got the iPhone, which you can use for other stuff, so I'm not sure I need another one at this state of time. I want another one, but not sure I need one, so we'll see. Okay, so that's it for the state of the Mac in my house, my future house, my virtual house, because it's not actually built. All that's there is the outline of the house and a pile of dirt in the middle that they're getting ready to spread and start laying the foundation, which is going to start probably this week coming up. They're going to start that part. More on that as it progresses, but for now, I went up there, took some pictures. Maybe I'll throw them up on the blog and give you an idea of what's going on over there. IKEA furniture, definitely. And one thing that the wifey is really, that's helping me sell this iMac buy is she really hates the amount of cables that come out of my gaming PC. I mean, hates. There's plugs for everything. So when I told her, well, if I get the iMac, there's only one power plug, and then the Ethernet cable, which I will go. I'm not going to go wireless on that. And she's like, oh, that's it? I was like, yep, that's all you need. And I was telling her, my son's computer, he can be wireless. So his would be only the power cable. Cordless mouse, cordless keyboard or trackpad or whatever. She's like, wow, because right now there's cords for everything. Mouse, keyboard, monitor, you know, external speakers. There's everywhere. So I told her, since we're going to be in a new man cave, and if we do decide to get these new computers, which we probably will, I think I've sold her on them. Cable management, making the cables disappear, will be pretty easy. Look, you know, a little bit of zip ties, a little bit of Velcro ties, and, you know, careful placement of the router, so, you know, so it's not necessarily where everyone can see it. And try to keep things as hidden as possible. Mount things under the desks. You know, a little bit of drill action and mounting points. You can definitely hide as much as possible. And the mix, of course, then it comes with the mix. When I have the mixer and the compressor limiter gate and all that stuff, managing cables, it can be a pain in the neck. So looking forward to that. Not having to move the stuff around, keeping it fixed so I can really, really tighten up the cable management there. And please the wife, have that nice studio, and produce as many podcasts as possible, videos, things like that. Okay, next, let's talk about, I think there's been some bugs and security issues with iOS and macOS 10, SSL certificate type stuff, man-in-the-middle attacks on the old iMessage, and a good friend of mine was saying, a good friend of mine is an engineer. I don't want to mention his name, but he's probably one of the top iOS, Objective-C, I should say, programmers in, I guess I can say in the world. He's good. He's really freaking good. He's been doing it for a long time, and he's got success behind him to show it, so that's pretty interesting. But he's like, Apple needs the engineers in charge again. The creatives are in charge, and things started to go awry. And I was kind of thinking, back to the history of Apple and all that, with Steve Jobs and originally with Steve Jobs and Wozniak. And I always thought that, it's kind of been percolating that Apple needs to be, like Steve Jobs said, the crossroads between the creatives and the engineers. I forgot exactly what he said, but that's what I'm going to say. The creatives and the engineers. And when the times when things are out of balance, like when Steve Jobs was gone and the businessmen were controlling it, there were problems. So I think my friend has a good point that right now there are too many, and this is my opinion as well, after listening to his points and then kind of thinking about historically about the position of Apple during who's in charge. I think that there is not good enough balance at Apple. There's probably a little bit too many creatives and not enough engineers. And I think Steve Jobs was actually a pivotal point in controlling the attacking engineers and the attacking designers, who probably didn't like each other very much. And I'm sure he might have actually pit them against each other. So it's a possibility that he was actually, I'm pretty sure I don't know if it's purposely or, yeah, I think it was purposely. If you read all the old books and stuff, that he would put two teams against each other and see who would win in a competition. But I think right now that, of course, you know, Steve Jobs passed away a few years ago. I forgot exactly when it was, but it's a few years ago already, yeah. And since then, they kind of, you know, they've had a roadmap that he set out before he passed away. But I think when they got rid of Scott Forstall and a couple other folks, even though maybe he was a negative thorn in the designer's side, he's also a damn good engineer. And possibly not having that little internal bickering between the designers and the old engineers / programmers, that maybe the balance in Apple is a little bit off. So I kind of tend to agree, and that's kind of my theory. I think possibly Apple is a little bit on the creative energy heavy side, and the engineering side maybe a little bit low. So I think the balance needs to be put back into place, actually. Because I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of shoddy software coming out of Apple the last year or so. iOS is a battery drain, crashes. It's like an Android phone now. Come on. We've never had to deal with that before. And then you got the security breaches. And my engineer friend seems to think with if Scott Forstall and a couple other people were in charge or in charge of different areas, the little things like this wouldn't have happened. So I don't know. That's just my two cents. What do you guys think out there? Do you think that possibly there could be a little imbalance? Maybe there's too much balance on the old operations side with Tim Cook in there. And also, ICANN designing, not designing, ICANN was demanding that the old, since he was, a large stockholder, that he thinks that Apple should give money back to the stockholders. Steve Jobs would have laughed in his face, but then Tim Cook is having meetings with him. Like, really? Come on now, you don't have to do that. So there's been a lot of things out there that kind of, I know we hyperanalyze Apple because we're passionate about them, but I don't know. I don't think Steve Jobs would actually put up with that kind of stuff. So that was kind of my second point that I wanted to talk about in the podcast today. First one was, of course, state of my Mac. Second one, the balance in Apple. And what is the third one I had? Oh, I was having a little I am arguing with my good buddy. He's a Windows guy, but he has a Mac. He was trying to tell me that everyone has left Final Cut 10. It's nobody's using it anymore. Everyone has gone over to Premiere, and they're paying their what, $50 a month for the Creative Suite. And he's like, "Why don't you get Premiere?" I was like, "Well, for one thing, I can't buy it. I gotta rent it." "Yeah, but you get the whole Creative Suite." I'm like, "I don't need the whole Creative Suite. I mean, it'd be nice to have, but I like the fact that I can spend X amount of money, $299 or two, what is it, $250 or $299, something like that. I think it's $299 for a Final Cut 10. It's mine." Mine, well, and then I gotta pay Adobe $50 a month, which comes up to $300 pretty quickly, even though, yeah, you're getting a whole bunch of stuff, but still, if I even contemplated going to Premiere, it would be buying last year's version that I could actually own, and I would never update, just leave it as it is. But before I got Final Cut 10, I was a heavy iMovie user, and I love the interface. And then when I loaded up Final Cut 10, I'm like, this makes perfect sense. The features that they held back from me in iMovie are here. And I'm not a pro editor. I like to do classic Japanese cars and sports cars and things like that. Cars, I like car videos. So I get a lot of footage at a car show. I burned out a damn LCD panel on my Sony HD camera last time in Japan for like 6 hours straight. I have backup batteries and backup media, and I just, the whole time, the thing was on fire, the CPU in there. But I have hours and hours of footage. And then I saw my friend, I was like, and he doesn't really edit. He's not an editor, so, and I don't consider myself an editor either. I said, do me a favor, edit about 20 to 50 videos in Final Cut 10, and then do 20 to 50 in Premiere, and then tell me after which one you like better. I told him, I don't care which one you start with, just let me know. And I said, even if you have to go get a Pirate Bay version of Final Cut 10 because you don't want to buy it, just to try it out. Or I think they might even actually let you do a demo for a month or something. But and then he's like, "Oh, no, Final Cut 10 is slow. Everyone's moved away from it. Nobody likes it." I'm like, well, the people that I see, like, for example, on YouTube, there's a channel called the Drive Channel. It's a relatively new startup in the car video scene, and they have like millions of subscribers, I think. I think they have millions of subscribers. And these guys There's Tune. There's Chris Harris on Cars. There's Big Muscle. There's, you know, a whole, it's like seasonal, quarterly seasonal shows. And what they do is they shoot with 5Ds, GoPros, and anything else they can find. And they edit on Final Cut 10 on a MacBook Pro in the field. And they get it done. And I think that's what Apple's going for. They don't necessarily need the Hollywood studios to use it. They need a whole bunch of people that don't mind spending $299. First, people are going to buy a Mac, which is going to spend thousands on that. Then they're going to spend the $299 on Final Cut 10. Then they're going to get probably going to get the other two, Compressor, and what's the other one called? I forgot what it's called, Composer or whatever, which I haven't got yet. I'm going to get that next. So, and then there's like people like YouTubers like iJustine who exclusively use Final Cut and have always used Final Cut, and they were crying and they hated Final Cut 2 when it first came out, but now they're like, wow, so much easier, so much faster. Alex and Lindsay from the Pixel Core, him as well, they were kind of on the fence because they lost a lot of features, but then now they're like, there's no way we could do the stuff we do now as fast as we could in the old version of Final Cut 10. Yeah. So there's lots of people that I kind of follow that produce really good content, web content. I don't know about the movies and the TV shows. I don't really care. I watch mostly web content, podcasts, internet broadcasts, YouTube videos, things like that. And for what I need to do, Final Cut 10, the price, the ease of use, it's the way to go. But he just kept quoting articles and articles, and like three of the ones he quoted were sponsored by Adobe. I'm like, you can't give me a comparison test that was sponsored by Adobe. I won't give you one that's sponsored by Apple. So, and then I told him, you know, no matter what you say, I'm not going to use Premiere. Oh, unless you give me a copy of it, and then I might, but I probably wouldn't. So, that was kind of interesting. So, it's funny how people with their biases, and the thing is, he does support for Windows. He knows Linux pretty damn well with Linux Server Management, and he has a Mac Mini. So he should be a little bit more, you know, unbiased about which platform I agnostic. But he just keeps quoting, it didn't come with all the features. It's slow. Everybody moves. I'm like, yes, but sometimes change really, you know, like Apple, they usually wipe the slate clean and wipe the slate clean and start over again. And I think a lot of people got upset, and you know, they probably did it wrong, but sometimes that's all projects. You just need to put them out there, and they've pretty much added everything that people were griping about, the multi-camera shoot and some other stuff that I don't remember off the top of my head, but since we are mobile and I'm in my car here, yeah, so 2014, Final Cut 10 is in a really good position. Mid 2010 i5 MacBook Pro with how much? 16 gigs of RAM or 16 gigs of RAM. It still manages to get by, and that computer is what? 3.5 years old, 4 years old, give or take. Well, just about 4 years old actually. So, because I remember I got it on my birthday. So yeah, just about next month it'll be 4 years old. It's still doing well with it. And, you know, iMovie is no problem, basically, you know, considering we're dealing with higher and higher resolution and larger files. A four-year-old CPU on a mobile computer, you know, what do you expect? You just got to wait a little longer for the renders and stuff, so. Yeah, I know I'm rambling. It's kind of hard when I'm doing mobile, but I think you guys get the gist of it. And I wanted to put out episode this week because this might be the only chance that I can squeeze it out there. And I didn't necessarily want to do just a plain, I don't always want to do just the news, just the rumors. I want to do the experience of me as a Mac user, my experiences and your experiences. So feel free to send me an email. You can email me at ett808@gmail.com. That's ett, the number's 808@gmail.com for all your comments for That Mac Show and anything related. The website is r32media.com, R32, media.com. Is that media? Yeah, that's media. There's some blog articles going over there. It'll be mostly home of the podcast, but until I get a, until I decide on the actual domain I'm going to use. I'm kind of tempted to change the title of the show from That Mac Show to something else, but for now, this is a working title. It's in the iTunes store, and that's all that matters for now. Might just stick with it. You never know. We'll be back again next week, I believe. I'm not going to say what day of the week I release, but I've been kind of trying to sandwich myself in between all the other shows, and I'm thinking Thursday evening release or a Sunday night, Monday morning type release is what I'm kind of thinking might be the best time to squeeze it in there. Thursday's probably better because if there's any Apple news, it probably happened Tuesday or Wednesday. Because most of the time they don't do it on Monday, so Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. So I'm thinking a Thursday evening finish or early Friday morning release. But, or Sunday evening / Monday morning release. But, you know, it's a podcast. It's on demand. You can listen to it whenever you want. So I'm thinking maybe I won't even pick a date. But, you know, everyone always says, oh, you got to release steadily, same date, around the same time to build your audience, blah, blah, blah. But then again, I'm like, well, this podcast is going to be in iTunes. It's going to be on my website. Probably going to throw it up on YouTube as well. And I might even loop a stream on Justin TV or Ustream or something just to keep it going through the week. But we'll see. So I'm going to try to hit every, and Stitcher Radio and Pocket Cast, all the apps out there. But, you know, it's harder these days to build an audience, but I'm going to try my best. But we'll see how it goes. Anyways, I think that's enough. We hit the 30-minute mark. We're in the car. We're mobile. It's all good. This has been The Mac Show, episode 100. I'm your host, E.T., and we'll see you guys next week.